Washington's got it. Number one, Lewis Jones.
You are about to enter the lounge, the sports lounge, with your host, Big Lou, and me, Big Lou's homie, Tony Kelly. You ready for the lounge? Welcome to the Sports Lounge with Big Lou. Born in Venice, California, the son of a preacher man, he went to the University of Washington football team starting as a strong safety and outside linebacker. Big Lou has taken home three Pac-10 titles and two Rose Bowl wins. He had an undefeated season and a national championship in 1991. He's the CEO of Holy Fit 310. Trainer to the California Hollywood elite. And now, please give it up for your host, Big Lou.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Lounge with me, your host, Big Lou, right here on AM 1290 KZSB, Santa Barbara News Press Radio. Man, you know what? What an exciting weekend. And I'm going to start the show off today like this. Obviously, I'm going to get to the red zone recap, but I have to do this real quick. If you've been listening and following the show, and I've been making a lot of noise about those dadgum Raiders, and you know, I'm going to say this about the Raiders right now, and then we'll come back to it. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it one more time right now. A broke watch is right twice a day. Now, with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the red zone recap. On Saturday, the Chiefs pulled out a miraculous win over the Broncos, 28-24. The Cowboys, you know, over the last couple weeks of late in football, there have been a lot of 50 burgers getting put up. And for those of you who don't understand what that may mean, a team scoring 50 points or more, 50 burger. But to no avail, the Cowboys, who knew? Cowboys put up 51 points on the Eagles, scores 51-26. Moving on to Sunday, the Bengals and the Browns. The Bengals actually choked on this one, losing to the Browns, 21-16. The Packers, well, I mean, you know, again, I think they just took some time off, but the Packers did actually lose to the Lions, 37-30. I really have nothing to say about that. We all know it's prep time for playoffs. Let's just keep it real. Come on. The Bears choked against the Vikings. The Vikings got the win, 31-17. The Washington team, I'm still excited and waiting to see what their actual team is, team name's going to be, what their mascot's going to be. I have a lot of thoughts in my head. Can't say it on the air, but email me. We'll talk about it. Washington 22, the Giants played small, scoring 7. The Colts and the Jaguars, man, and this is where things go awry right here. The Jaguars came out and played their ever-loving hearts off and ruined the playoff hopes for the Colts, knocking the Colts off 26-11. The Steelers go to overtime with the Ravens, and Big Ben tick-tocks again. Gets the win 16-13 in overtime. But unfortunately for Big Ben, we thought the inevitable was going to happen. Raiders-Chargers game ties, and to no avail. It did not end up in a tie. That was the only way the Steelers were going to get into the playoffs this year.
No, they made it.
They slipped in?
If they tied, the Steelers wouldn't have made it.
That's what it was. I'm sorry, guys. You know what? It's okay to be wrong and stand corrected, and I'm okay with that. It was so much drama going on in football this weekend. And then there's something else going on as well that I'm going to share with you guys. But they did slip in. It was the Chargers that got bumped. And, you know, to no avail, Justin Herbert had a great year. Definitely nothing to hang, you know, nothing to hold his head down about. But, you know, true competitors, all competitors, it's not enough. We got to win it all. So I'm excited to see how he comes back from this loss and turns it around next season. The Titans and the Texans. The Titans got the win over the Texans, even though it was a close one, 28-25. The Saints, 30 over the Falcons, 20. The Jets did not fly very high, went down to the Bills 27-10. The 49ers and the Rams ended up in overtime, and the 49ers came away with the win over the Rams 27-24. Patriots and Dolphins, again, you all know I'm a huge Belichick fan. Obviously, defense is how we win championships. But the Dolphins came out and played big against the Patriots and got the win 33-24. Seahawks pulled it out over the Cardinals 38-20. The Panthers got trampled against my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not so much really my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but my Tom Brady went out and did his thing per usual, and then he took a mirror out of his pocket on the sideline to make sure his hair was straight. And then the game last night, what a great game. I mean, the only way you get this much back and forth or up and down, if you will, is on a teeter-totter at a kid's playground. At no point, the Raiders got the win over the Chargers 35-32, and here we are at that point. So I'm going to say this now to everyone that's been listening, following, with all the madness that I have said about the Raiders up in this season, I just want you to know I'm going to talk trash about the Raiders again next year because I'm not a Raider fan. But they did make it into the playoffs. And side note, if I saw it correctly, this is the first time or the second time that the Raiders have been in postseason play in 19 seasons. And you got to tip your hat. I'm applauding Derek Carr. First time he's going to postseason play in his career in the NFL. Says a lot about Derek Carr and the role that he plays and the importance that he brings to the Raiders, to the Las Vegas Raiders now at this point. So congratulations to them and Derek Carr for getting over the hump. I'm excited to see what they get to do with their first opportunity in their first week in the playoffs. But, I mean, listen, I'm putting my heart out there on the table. I'm going to tell you right now, it'll be done. Like, I don't see them going very far. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not hating on the Raiders, but, you know, with everything that they've had to overcome this year with Henry Ruggs, with Gruden, with, you know, just up and downs on the lines and injuries and whatnot, you could almost say they kind of, in a sense, had a Super Bowl and they came out victorious in that respect. But, you know, that's the other side of it. Now the actual bowl is about to come. They have an opportunity to make some noise or ruin some other team's careers. It's going to be or a season. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But that is the Red Zone Recap. And from the Red Zone Recap, we jump right to the Rookie Roundup. And in the Rookie Roundup, we have Trevor Lawrence saved his best game of the season for last, going 23 of 32, 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. They actually beat the Colts, as we mentioned earlier, and knocked them out of the playoffs. And, you know, guys, I've been saying all season long, and I'll continue to say it as long as I'm involved in sports and football. And now having a sports radio show, and I'm grateful for all you guys that are following and listening to the show. So thank you. But I'm going to say this again. It's hard enough to win in the NFL every Sunday. It makes it 1,000 times more difficult when you're giving the ball away and turning the ball over. And Trevor Lawrence righted the ship in that respect, 0 interceptions. And that probably has something to do with why they came out with the victory. Moving on, Zach Wilson lost to the Bills. Zach Wilson went 7 of 20 for 87 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. Mac Jones and the Patriots lost to the Dolphins once again, but Mac Jones did turn out a performance of 20 of 30 for 261 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. Davis Mills, guy that fielded that quarterback for the Texans, lost to the Titans, going 23 of 33 for 301 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And other rookies of note to mention, Nick Bolton, Chiefs linebacker, had 6 tackles and a fumble recovery, touchdown versus the Texans. Ambry Thomas, 49ers cornerback, had 1 pass breakup and his first career interception in overtime to send the 49ers to the playoffs. And that's what we have right there for the Rookie Roundup, guys. Again, I'm going to go out there and say this right now. You know, I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, but he's not on the field by himself. He definitely makes every receiver that plays with him better. Everyone that has left playing with Tom Brady, in my most humble opinion, career has become mediocre at best. But saying that, you know, the offense, it's one with 11 functioning parts, same as the defense. I'm saying all of this, guys, because I'm going to put my foot in my mouth, and I'm going to go ahead and take a leap of faith and say it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers to win that Super Bowl this year. They're playing hot right now. They're all playing together, definitely looking as a power unit, Moreover, you hear a lot of the analysts talk about this team is getting healthy right now. This team is getting healthy right now. They have these guys coming back. Well, in case you don't know, Aaron Rodgers has at least one of his best linemen in the NFL coming back, that and David Bakhtiari. And when you have your guy back on the line and you know that you can put your heart into him and turn your back and he's going to protect that blind side, it allows you to be able to do more things confidently. Listen, guys, just a real quick ad mention for my sponsors that are out there. I wanted to give another shout out to our sponsors, Allison Maylin, the dynamic duo agents with the agency. They do pride themselves in educating first-time buyers and helping them navigate the storm of an insane market. Listen, if you want to get your offers accepted, if you're, whether you're selling or buying, do yourself a favor. Make it easy on yourself. Call these girls. Their hard work and dedication will get you in a new house. You can reach Allison Maylin on their Instagram. Check them out on IG, see what they've been up to. At Alice and Maylin, that's at AliceAndMaylin. You can always call them directly or text message them, and they will get back to you. That number is 310-804-5229. One more time, that number again is 310-804-5229. Today in the lounge, my guys, you know what? I don't really have a guest, but I have one of the people on a part of my show. He's definitely somebody that I always bounce things off of. He's a phenomenal young man, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say about what's going on in sports today. Justin Platt, he's called in a couple times, just finished up at Colorado Mesa University. I'm happy to have him on. Listen, don't change the dial. We got to take a quick break. Just turn the volume up a little bit. You have been listening to Big Lou, the host of the Sports Lounge, right here on AM 1290 KZSB. It's a Santa Barbara News Press Radio. We'll be back.
To join Big Lou in the Sports Lounge every Monday at 12 p.m., rebroadcast Monday at 10 p.m., Wednesday at 4 a.m., and Saturday night at 8 p.m. Get into the lounge. The Sports Lounge can be found on your radio dial at 96.9 FM and AM 1290 KZSB.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the Sports Lounge right here on AM 1290 KZSB. I'm your host, Big Lou. And in the lounge today, we have my friend, co-worker, super intelligent, fresh out of college, but has the brain of a scientist. And I'll be quite honest with you. I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it. I have no problem throwing myself under the bus. I figure if I keep throwing myself under the bus, nobody else will have anything to throw me under the bus for, and it takes all that out the way. But he is a technical guru when it comes to this stuff here, and you guys all know I'm still active on MySpace, so he's the one that really helps me get all this stuff together, social media-wise, here with the show. Justin Platt. Justin, what's going on, buddy? How are you? How have you been? How's things?
Oh, dude, I'm doing good. Thank you. I really appreciate that intro. I mean, look, you're coming along faster. Like you said, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So you got it there. But I'm really happy to be a part of the show. And I'm just excited to get into it.
That's awesome, man. It's, you know, it's always good to have you on the show. I love picking your brain. You know, that common sense and wisdom is not necessarily age specific. And you're definitely a true testament to that. Even in your young years now, you're definitely an old soul. And it's going to be fun doing this show with you and more shows to come. Listen, guys, Before I start getting into Justin's brain and was talking some current football stuff, what's going on, what's hot in the NFL right now, there has been a little bit of a setback, not a setback, just a touching moment, if you will. And I wanted to talk about it here on the show and just kind of a way of awareness and to make people more aware. A very close friend of mine, and oddly, my next door neighbor as well, his daughter was not feeling well one day. They rushed him to the hospital over this past week, over the break, and come to find out she had a 9x9 tumor attached to her kidney. And then they also found something cancerous on the liver and on the lung as well. And she was in a major surgery just the other day. And you know, thank God the surgery went really well. They finished the surgery a little bit sooner than anticipated and was able to remove this 9x9 inch tumor that was connected to her. We don't know the level of, you know, where she's at in terms of the stage of cancer that it is, but we do know that it is cancerous. And she is best friends with both of my boys who are 5 and 7. And it's so heartbreaking because it was like, there was nothing going on, you know, that they were dealing with up until this point. It just really kind of was very sudden that they found all of this stuff out. And I just wanted to send a shout out to Blakely Bergenfeld. I know you're strong, sweetie. When, you know, we're praying for you, we're rooting for you. And to her parents, Jason and Kim Bergenfeld, you know, man, support is great. Friends are wonderful and family is beautiful. And, you know, we're all thinking about you, Blakely. You know, you're in all of our prayers. And I want to send a shout out to JoJo Siwa. I think I said that right. But somehow she got wind of what was going on in the story as well. And, you know, she reached out to Blakely via FaceTime and just to say, hey, you know, keep your head up, give her good spirits. And obviously Blakely's a huge fan of hers. And it's just, you know, it's times like these, guys, where, you know, things are happening, real life things are going on, and people who we think are untouchable or unreachable, or they're, you know, they're stars and this stuff, and they don't really think about people who are not on that level. We couldn't be more wrong. It's times like these that really people really step up and show, you know, their feelings, their emotions, how much they care for people, what life is all about. And the fact that JoJo Siwa, you know, took time out of her day and schedule to reach out to a young lady that she's never met before and to just say, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. You're going to be okay. What a huge, huge boost of confidence that does for not only that kid, but for the parents and, you know, for other people out there who might have these preconceived notions about people that they don't even know firsthand. They just make these assumptions. So I just wanted to send a personal shout out and thank you to JoJo Siwa for taking time out of her life to make life better for another young kid. It's an amazing story. It's just another example. You know, take life serious, take it day by day, guys. You never know what life has to offer you and what's going to come. So, you know, take it serious and enjoy life while you can and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect and love. With that being said, I want to move over to a little bit more football now, and this is where I'm going to hit on Justin with. Obviously, I want to talk about the Antonio Brown situation. Not necessarily talk about, I want to touch on it again. Last week, you know, everybody saw the great exit. I mean, if you're an old school TV fan, it looked like the exit of someone from Showtime at the Apollo, if you ever watched that show. Great show, fun show. But it wasn't so wasn't that much fun for Antonio Brown and the Tampa Bay Bucs fans that are watching. Obviously, he's an intricate part of that offense. And losing a piece like that could be detrimental. We won't know until the rest of the playoffs come, but there is a guy back there throwing the ball to people named Tom Brady. And I want to touch on the mental capacity that it takes to play professional sports. Obviously, these guys are, you know, they range in age from 21 upwards to, as you see, Tom Brady, 44. But the mental maturity of these guys happens at a very young age. And I just want to touch on, while all of those antics were going on the sideline, it just goes to show you another example of why Tom Brady is the best at what he does, or I'm going to say arguably the best. I know he has all the records and whatnot, but, you know, there's another guy on the other side named Aaron Rodgers who's not too shabby. But Tom Brady, with all of that going on with Antonio Brown, having him taken out of the game after the fact, there's a distraction, and then we lose a piece, and then he's still able to come back out and play the way he did and still come back and win. Justin, what do you think about Tom Brady and his ability to block out the riffraff, if you will, of his own teammate and still go out there and be able to perform on the level that he did?
Well, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I mean, look, like we've always said, Tom is like a coach on the field. He knows how to kind of moderate this stuff after being with Belichick for 20 years in New England. You see their press conferences. They don't say a lot. They're focused on one thing, and that thing is winning. Even when all the drama with them is going on, they're trying to stay laser focused, as Tom always says. And you know what? They knew when they brought AB into the building what AB brings along with his talent. You know, no one has ever debated how talented Antonio Brown is as a football player. It's the stuff that he brings on the outside that can cause distractions. And, you know, this isn't the first time Brady's had to deal with distractions. Obviously, he goes through the deflate gate and stuff like that. You know, people are asking him things where he's just trying to get locked and loaded for the game. I would say in the course of his career, this is a relatively minor incident. Obviously, we've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a player take off his pads mid-game and run off the field. But I wouldn't say that there's much that could distract Brady from his one and only goal. Even Antonio Brown said in an interview earlier, you know, Tom's my friend, but he's my friend because he needs me as a football player. Tom is solely focused on football, and what AB is good at is football. So as long as Tom can focus on that, then that's what he's going to be pointed towards, you know, regardless of everything going around. That's the one thing Tom cares about.
You know what? I got to tell you, it's funny because everybody knows that, you know, obviously Tom Brady was the catalyst, not one of, he was the catalyst to get Antonio Brown back. And what I'm curious to know is after Antonio Brown's mental meltdown, and then he hit Gatorade bottles or whatever, he throwing his arms up, and then he proceeded to take off all his clothes on the sideline. I thought we were going to get a little Detroit pole dance going on. Because he was close. But I want to know, because apparently Antonio Brown was staying with Tom Brady as well.
Yeah, there's a few things. You know, it's really hard. A lot of the stuff's up in the air because no one except for AB wants to talk. But the thing is with AB is that you don't always know what if he's saying is true, you know, because sometimes it's from his point of view, which isn't always super perceptible to everybody else, you know? So what Antonio Brown has been saying, like he said, is in that interview, he said, Tom's his friend, but then he also complained, you know, but like, if I'm his friend, why am I only making 1 million or whatever, you know, why am I getting, you know, they upped his deal to 6.25 million in incentives. And he obviously didn't make that. They cut him before that. You know, I think that from AB's point of view, obviously it looks like, hey, they cut me before I was able to get my pay raise. Why am I not getting the ball more? Because obviously in his mind, you know, I'm Antonio Brown. He sounds like
the kid at the park and rec that brought his basketball, and everybody else that's playing with him and his basketball is better than him, and they won't pass him the ball. So he's like, if you guys are going to pass me the ball, I'm going to take my ball and I'm going home. Listen, guys, we have to take another quick break, but we will be right back. We're going to finish this thing off about Antonio Brown, and then we're going to get into something else, a little bit of a who did it and the over-under. This is the Sports Lounge on AM 1290 KZSB, Santa Barbara News Press Radio. I'm your host, Big Lou. I'll be back.
I want to stay south of the river with the chains and the gold. Together, but you have places to go. Watching the sunshine lace the gray. I don't know why you wouldn't stay. You should come south of the river, where the loving is gold.
Welcome back to the lounge. The Sports Lounge with Big Lou. And now, here's your host, Big Lou.
Back to the Sports Lounge right here on AM 1290 KZSB and on FM 96.9 Santa Barbara News Press Radio. Man, you know what? They gave us two stations now. We are simulcast. Who knew? That's my best love jam radio voice right there. No, don't hold that against me. Listen, guys, before we went to break, we were talking about Antonio Brown and the antics that were going on there with him and in Tampa Bay. And, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this because as far as I'm concerned, it happened. We have reviewed it and it's time to move on from it. But I wanted to touch on it a little bit and just let people know, listen, let me say it this way. I'm going to propose this question to Justin. With what's happened with Antonio Brown, Justin, right? With what happened in Pittsburgh, and then Mike Tomlin came out at one point and said, you know, we kept him around, we kept him on the field because his production on the field outweighed the nonsense off the field. Once the production fell off, time to part ways, which is why, or, you know, a big reason why he was out of Pittsburgh and got picked up, you know, made his way around, started to run the gambit, if you will, with New England, with the Raiders, and then he ended up in Tampa Bay. And now he is not even with Tampa Bay. He doesn't have a professional sports home at this moment. My question to you is, with everything that he has accomplished before all of this silliness has started taking the light over him instead of his production on the field, there was a point in time where, without question, not on the path, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, without question, like, the numbers supported it. His work ethic on the field supported it. And I believe at one point in time, even his work ethic off the field supported that. With what has transpired of late, do you think, one, he will still end up in the Hall of Fame? Or number two, does he even deserve the right to go to the Hall of Fame?
Look, this has been a big debate between character and statistics, you know, obviously with T.O., but T.O. was never, ever as bad as Antonio Brown was. I don't believe that T.O. was in any way the type of locker room disruption that A.B. has been. And it comes down to the difference between pride and entitlement, where T.O. had a lot of pride in who he was, and A.B. has entitlement, where he believes he deserves so-and-so because of what he's done, when really – he owes this league everything. I mean, he came in as a six-round pick, and obviously he has played beyond what anybody thought he would ever would, and he's been phenomenal on the field. But he feels like, you know, I'm AB. I deserve this. It's not that, you know, I'm AB, I'm the best, and I'm going to go show it on the field. It's I'm AB, I'm the best, and I deserve what I want because I am the best, and I can do whatever I want.
If I may, I want to pause you right there because it's funny when you say that, because when we look in contrast, let's just say obviously we're not there in the locker room. We're going based off of what we see and what we hear from other people and, you know, how things are turning out in these, you know, news reports and breaking news and all these stories. Do you think that that's something that he shared with Tom Brady in the sense of they were both drafted in the sixth round, right? Tom Brady obviously has put in all the work and then some in terms of dotting I's, crossing T's, mental preparation, physical preparation, changing his complete nutritional program, moving his trainer in. Basically, he's now Mr. Mom to Tom Brady, if, you know, no pun intended. I'm not trying to, you know, bash anybody right here. But, I mean, that's the relationship that they have. Like, Tom Brady is committed all in, and he still plays with that chip on his shoulder. With an attitude. He plays angry, if you will. He's, you know, countless times the most vocal and fired up person out there. Do you think that's something that Tom Brady might have took into account, that they have some of these things in common, and maybe, you know, he just felt maybe he had a bad luck in life, or he just, you know, try to mentor him through this speed bump. Like it's mind boggling to me. I mean, it's again, I can't wrap my head around it. And I got big head, people.
Well, look, Tom very well could see that in AAB, but you know what Tom said and is notorious for saying, I don't care if you're a first round pick or an undrafted guy. If you're going to produce on the field, that's all I care about. You can look at guys like Nikhil Harry, a first round pick, didn't gel well with Tom Brady. You know, he's throwing to guys like Edelman and like stuff like that. But I think that Tom is, you're right, he is a dog when he comes on the field. He's angry and he's mean when he's on the field, but he's always team oriented. All he wants to do is win, where AB is very me. You know, AB wants him to get his stats. AB wants to get his yards, his touchdowns. I feel like, you know, to answer your previous question, no, I don't believe he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't believe he deserved to win a Super Bowl after everything that he did off the field that was disrupted and rude and disrespectful to teams that given him chances and paid him. And then for him to do all this type of terrible things and then get rewarded by winning a Super Bowl, I think was undeserved, honestly. Now, despite that, his play was super essential to that win, obviously. He put up big numbers on the field. So in terms of play, yes, you could consider him a Hall of Fame player because he was, I mean, for a five-year stretch, he was the best receiver. I mean, debatable with DeAndre Hopkins and Julio, obviously. But, I mean, for 5 years, he was undoubtedly a top three receiver. It's just everything that he's done since has really put a harness on his legacy, I feel like. And for him to be able to make the Hall of Fame, he's going to have to do some major repair damage once he retires in that, you know, that 7 year gap before he is eligible. Because I feel like if they're having problems with T.O., I can't even think about what AB is going to be like, because in my opinion, T.O. is career wise, I've been a better receiver. But in terms of a 5 year span, I'd probably give it to AB over T.O.
Okay, last question on Antonio Brown, and then I want to move off of him. But we'll end it with a fun question here for you. And I'm curious, guys, listen, if you guys want to call into the show and talk about this as well, man, you know what? The phones are hot. We'd love to have you guys call in and be a part of the show. The number is 805-564-1290. Call in and let me hear your opinion. Weigh in on this next thing I'm about to drop right now. And that question to you, Justin, is this. You're coaching in the NFL right now when this happens with Antonio Brown. As a head coach, because of COVID and all this other stuff that's happening and injuries, your team has been decimated at wide receiver. But you're going to the playoffs. You somehow finagled and slipped your way in. You're going to the playoffs. My question to you, do you bring in Antonio Brown?
I think it comes down to the team's culture. For example, I'm a Colts fan, and we obviously saw what happened to the Colts, right? We're a very wide receiver needy team, but I think regardless of how much AB might have helped on the field, his personality doesn't gel at all with the Colts culture. They're very team, and you know, they're not player biased. They're team based. So I think it depends on the team. Now, I personally, if I'm one receiver away from a Super Bowl, and we have a guy like a Tom Brady or a guy like a Big Ben, who's obviously not Big Ben, but like an old leadership who can take command and say, "Hey, AB, shut up and let's go to work," because AB respects Tom Brady, you know, someone who can kind of keep him contained for the majority of the postseason, I would give him a chance. Now, in terms of beyond that, I don't know. But if you can get through the next month with him on your team, I would do that, especially if you're a really wide receiver needy team like the Eagles. Potentially, you know, I don't know if Jalen Hurts has that kind of say, but it depends. It depends all on the quarterback and the coach of that team, if they can handle that for a month.
You know, and well said, Justin. I got to tell you guys, this is the most exciting time of the year for me. Playoff time in football, Super Bowl is coming up. And for those who are unaware, my birthday falls right around Super Bowl, like a couple days before, couple days after, or sometimes I'm lucky enough it's supposed to land. It lands right on Super Bowl Sunday. And I'm really upset with the league. I'm going to write a strongly worded email to the league and talk about this whole extending the season by a week or 2 weeks or whatever it was. I'm upset because initially the Super Bowl was supposed to land on my birthday this year. It's in SoFi and it's my 50th. I'm turning 50. Like, it was the perfect storm, a trifecta of situations for any ex-athlete, football player, sports enthusiast to have a celebratory situation with friends, family, and otherwise. And they done gone and moved it a week later. I'm highly upset about it. We'll talk about this later, guys. Listen, we got to take one last break. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit of whodunit and some over under with Justin just to see where his knowledge is. He has not been prepped on these questions, guys. So there is no way he will be able to Google search any of this and get the answers right away. So hopefully he's been doing some studying and following. You've been listening to The Sports Lounge right here on AM 1290 KZSB and on 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
It's I should make her my baby lady, lady. Shake some on my. Maybe I should say the things I type online. Be like, baby. No, I can't. Yes, I can. Wait, wait. I said I can feel it. You feel it. We feel it. We feel it. I know she want me. She want me. She want me. Girl, you never let ya.
You are in the lounge, the sports lounge with Big Lou. Just follow the f***ing show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Sports Lounge right here on AM 1290 and 96.9 KZSB, Santa Barbara News Press Radio. And, you know, we were just chopping shop, hanging out in the lounge here. I can't say so much for my guest, Justin, but I definitely got my feet up and shoes off. And I'm waiting on the bartender to bring me my drink because it is Monday. And hey, I'm in the lounge. So when in the lounge, do as loungers do. Put your feet up and have a nice drink. I want to get into this real quick. We're going to get into our Q&A here with Justin, our who did it and the over under. So I'm just going to jump right to it. Justin, are you ready?
Let's do it, baby.
Perfect. Now, listen, guys, real quick, you also can call in and answer, email. You can do the whole nine yards. It's Big Lou at TSLBigLou.com if you want to email your answers in. Or just go ahead and give a call into the station, 805-564-1290. You might want to call in because Justin's going to need help. So here we go. With that being said, guys, first question, and you know what? I'm going to do it this way. Actually, I'm not even going to give you, I was going to give you a little tidbit. I'm not going to give you a little tidbit. We're just going to go ahead and jump right into it. Here we go, Justin. Most passing yards in a Super Bowl.
In a Super Bowl?
In a Super Bowl. And I'm going to give you the over-under first. The over-under would be 490 yards.
I'm going to go over. I believe it's Tom Brady in the Super Bowl against the Eagles.
Well, you know what? I'll give you a bonus point for getting that game. It is over, and it was Tom Brady. So you're 2 for 2 right now. All right, guys, here we go. Moving on. Most receiving yards in a Super Bowl. Who did it?
God, you know, my brain is telling me Jerry Rice always because, you know, he played in so many. And I feel like it's probably like some random receiver who had like a massive game, but I'm going to go with Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice would be the answer for 1 point there. The next question is the over under, and the over under would be 180.
Yeah, I would say Jerry Rice probably put up like around like close to 200. If not, I'd say over.
Over 180 is correct. Jerry Rice actually went for 215 yards in that Super Bowl that he set that record for. Justin is 2 for 2 again. That makes him 4. He's got 4 points up right now. Yeah, 2, 4, 6. Yeah, he's got 4 points right now. Moving on. And I think this is going to be, let's see. Oh, let's go here. We'll try this one. All right, Justin, here we go. How many Super Bowl records does Tom Brady currently have?
Oh, well, I know he has appearances. I know he has wins, obviously. I believe he has most passing yardage. I believe he probably has most passing touchdowns. I believe that he probably – no, he doesn't. He doesn't have most interceptions. I don't think so. I'll go with he probably has – I think it's above five. I'd probably say probably has like seven records in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, it's definitely over seven. So for everyone that's listening, and I just kind of put this one out there, I didn't make it super fair by not giving the over-under there for him to have a gauge to go at. Tom
Isn't
Brady
like 30?
Well, no, actually, it's up to – Tom Brady currently has 14 records – or holds 14 records in the Super Bowl. I mean, and he might be adding to that, ladies and gentlemen. If he gets to another Super Bowl, I want to say that would make him the oldest quarterback to start in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, no, that would.
I think that'd be one of them. Neither here nor there. Moving on to our last question, guys. And our last question is this. This one's going to be fun. The last question, it goes like so. Justin. Longest field goal made in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl?
In a Super Bowl.
Oh, dude, I think it's 61 yards. I'm pretty sure. And I don't know if it was by Vinny, but I feel like it was by Vinatieri, but I think it's 61 yards.
Boom! He's finally cleanly missed one, ladies and gentlemen. Who knew? The longest field goal made in the Super Bowl is actually 54 yards. And it was done by Steve Christie of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, man, that's a tough one right there.
That's a tough one right there. Guys, that does it for today's version of Who Did It and the Over-Under. Listen, make sure to tune in every Monday. Get the number so you can call in and be a part of the show, play the games with us. And make some questions. They have some questions for me. I'm always looking forward to test my football knowledge, my mental encyclopedia, if you will, on the game of old, the game of current, and the game that it's going to turn in and morph into. The game has changed in so many facets over the years, over the decades, going from, you know, wing tees and big bodies on the line and big bodies in the backfield to all these different types of hybrid type bodies and athletes out there. The game has gotten so much faster in today's world. And I was just trying to explain to somebody the other day, we were talking about football, the dynamics of the game and the athleticism that it takes and the balance and the coordination and the strength and the speed and moreover the conditioning that it takes. And I mean this in a nice way, the different wiring that we have mentally to be able to play such a physical, violent, fast game, get smashed or hit hard and get back up and line up knowing that somebody's going to do it to you again. Takes a special person to get up there and keep doing that stuff, guys. I was fortunate to do it, you know, for a minute, and I played with some of the greats in college. Again, my joke is, you know, I had an opportunity to play pro, and, you know, I was there long enough for my coffee to still be hot. Didn't get cold. It was still warm when I was out. Short time, but I was there nonetheless, and you know, going from college to pro, the game is definitely a step faster, and you have more people on the field running 4.3 40s nowadays, where you just didn't see that many people. Listen, guys, unfortunately, that witching time is upon us. It's time for us to go ahead and basically put zeros on the clock. The show is done for today. I want to send a big shout out again to Justin for jumping in the show with us and having some fun with us on Who Did It and the Over-Under. Always good to have you on the show, man. I want to send another shout out to JoJo Siwa again for taking time to reach out and reach down an olive branch, if you will, just to say, hey, you know, little one, things are going to be greater later. Just keep fighting, stay strong. and we'll keep you in the prayers. Hey, it's been fun, guys. Again, thank you for listening, following the show. You have been listening to the Sports Lounge right here on AM 1290 and FM 96.9 KZSB, Santa Barbara News Press Radio. I'm your host, Big Lou. See you next week.
The Sports Lounge with Big Lou is brought to you by Evolve Entertainment. The Sports Lounge with Big Lou's executive producers are Jeremiah Higgins and Louis Jones. I am the commentator and co-host, Tony Kelly. The Sports Lounge with Big Lou's master sound engineer is Dr. D, a.k.a. Richard Dugan. See you next week in the lounge, the Sports Lounge with Big Lou. Oh, yeah.